Welcome to Recovery Comes Home Radio, your go-to podcast for all things related to addiction recovery. Whether you are an individual in recovery, a concerned loved one, or a dedicated professional, this podcast is tailored just for you. Here, we are all about empowering you with the tools, insights, and inspiration you need to move forward. So grab your headphones, tune in, and let's embark on this transformative journey together. Welcome to Recovery Comes Home Radio, the podcast where healing takes center stage. I'm Adrian, your host, and here to bridge the gap between individuals in recovery, their families, and industry professionals, fostering a supportive community dedicated to the journey of healing from and overcoming addiction. From personal anecdotes to professional guidance, we're here to encourage you to navigate the challenges and celebrate the many victories on this collective journey together. So buckle up for a transformative ride as we navigate the intricate threads of recovery. I'm here today with my good friend, Nicole Borghi. We have been talking about doing this episode forever, and I'm so excited that it's finally here. She's got a wealth of information she's ready to share, but first, let me tell you a little bit about Nicole. Nicole is known as the Digital Diva and is dedicated to helping clients stand out and shine through her unique approach of creating summits on a virtual reality stage blends creativity, technology, and strategy to empower businesses with a rapid growth and increased profits. Nicole is also a partner in the virtual reality company Elinxis, a leading virtual reality event-based company. Her expertise in immersive marketing creates captivating online experiences that establish authority, turning brands into industry beacons. She enables clients to share their passionate purpose and spark meaningful change. Collaborate with Nicole to unlock the keys to success and make your brand extraordinary in the digital age. Achieve more profit and growth by sharing your story with her immersive marketing prowess. And I'm so excited to introduce to everybody, this is Nicole Borghi. Thank you so much, my friend, for being here. Are you ready to talk all things recovery?
No and yes. It's always kind of a scary topic, right? Especially when it's new and it's still kind of at that soul healing level. But thank you for having me here. It's part of the healing journey. Thank you.
Absolutely. It's my honor. Can you go ahead and tell our audience a little bit about yourself and share your connection to recovery?
Well, thank you so much, and especially for that wonderful introduction. And for me, it's all about being soul aligned. And I know in conversations that we've had and on this journey that I've been on, it's really about being on that soul aligned journey and really sharing with people what can benefit them best on a soul filled level. And I know it's a bit woo woo, but it's kind of like the angelic approach in my healing journey. If you're not aligned with what you do, your business will not grow. If you don't grow, your business won't grow, right? And that's especially in this new year when we talk about our New Year's resolutions and what we want in our business, it's manifesting. I just got off a course, an online course with Tony Robbins and also Billy Carson, and it's really about manifesting the best you, but sharing that in that growth with the company and the people that you work with as a community to connect people on their soul path on stages. So podcasters and speakers, and bringing them up to share their journey and their passion and align that with their profit. And if you have passionate purpose, that equals profit. And, right. You know, we need to know that we need woke really doesn't mean broke, and bringing that forward. And how can we do that and grow as people, as a community, and know that this weird techie meta stuff is not that icky. It could help us serve others on that level.
Yeah, great. And tell us a little bit about your connection to recovery.
Ooh, that's a long path. So recovery started for me, that journey to recover really started with my daughter and her father and even my father in recovery in an alcoholic sense and a drug-filled sense, and the drinking within my family ingrained in maybe my culture, my home life, outside in the world. I grew up in the biggest meth capital at the time in San Jose, California, and coming out of that and thinking that, okay, now I can prosper and I can change my life and not live on the street anymore, go get an education, go to college. I was a teen mom, so having my daughter with me and going through the police academy after kind of living off the street and saying, hey, I can have a new life. But even taking myself and my daughter out of that, my daughter ended up being an alcoholic and a heavy opioid user. So, one bad day turned into many, many bad days and a lot of deep depression. And so now on that journey with what I do to share with people how they can recover or do some type of rehab on a digital platform in a safe environment where they feel comfortable. And if they need to be kind of anonymous until they're ready to recover and come out in person, they can have that avatar take place and share that now. But yeah, it's a long road, and it's kind of, I'm sure as you know, it's a long road to hoe, and it's always part of your life.
Yeah, it never goes
Right?
away, does it?
It never goes away, and you can't move away from yourself because I've
No,
tried.
you
Pack
can't.
it up.
Yeah,
That
right.
closet of skeletons
What's
comes with
funny?
you.
On a side note, it was part of my illest season in my life that where I was the least healthy. And I actually packed a bag. I lived by myself and I ran away for the night from myself. I don't know if I just needed some time to think. I'm not, I don't know, but I packed a bag and I lived alone. So, weirder things have happened.
Right.
You
I,
can't get away
yeah.
from you. You can't get away from you.
No, and it's my first time. My daughter passed a few years back, and it's the first time that I'm living alone without my family, but it's so quiet. My headspace is quiet because I took the journey and the acceptance of being with myself, but I'm never alone. And that's the other thing is, going through that journey is I just need to be alone. I need everybody to leave me alone. And because addicts, they want to have that connection and pain. And they isolate to a point, but then when they come out, it's with a vengeance when they
Yeah,
come out with their
absolutely.
friends and everybody else. So it's rough in that fact. And it's like, I didn't ever want to be alone, but I was always alone in a crowded room. And so it's like now I'm not lonely. I'm alone, but I'm at peace. And that's the biggest difference is I
Big
didn't choose
difference,
to
big
run away.
difference. Yeah, right? And that day when you choose to stop running is paramount. I mean, that's when I think the real healing begins, is where it's like, okay, I'm going to stop running. I'm going to start trying to put my arms around acceptance and action taking. I'm going to be brave enough to start over and over and over until I get my achieved result, and I'm going to create a stellar support system around myself. Those are the ABCs of recovery that we created. Simple acceptance. This is what it is. It's not going to change. So, therefore, we have to find a way to move forward. Like you said, though, not move forward in a room of crowded people with a noisy head. Move
Yeah, that.
forward, intentional, with a clear mind, with direction. It's possible.
Right. And it's just extreme focus for me. It's really with meditation and visualization, I've learned that having that focus and a clear mind with exercise and sunshine, oh my gosh, all we have and everything that we can buy, it's that exercise, that movement, that momentum, and the ability to just get that noisy monkey mind out of my head and find out where the positivity is that it's not fake, right? That it's real and that it can be positive, and how can we use it for good? Really, and drive that and share that. And that's really in action
It's
for
an
me
action.
and doing it, not just throwing those pretty little words out, but actually the action you take and how does it really make you feel?
That's why the A is acceptance and take action, because you can't have the results without the action. No. So take us back a little bit. What can you describe some of the challenges that your family experienced when your daughter first started down her path?
Well, it was really hard because that actually she was a teenager when I was working in the police department, juvenile hall. And that I was trying to heal myself and serve my community and figured, My experiences of living on the street, coming from an abusive family, going through mental health crisis with my mother and my father daily, no food, no money, no one's home. Even if they were there, they still weren't technically home, right? They weren't really in their right mind. But taking that and thinking, okay, I really want to serve. How can I serve? So I put a uniform on. I worked part-time at juvenile hall. I worked at the police department. How can I help serve my community and the juveniles at this time? Trying to serve my daughter. So trying to find the best way to be there for her, to grow a family and a community and change those environments and change myself. But the more that I did that, the more I pushed my family away. And of
That's really
course,
important. It's really important what you just said. You know, a lot of times our intentions are not the desired outcome.
No, it's not because, thinking that I want to take care of my family, I'm the caregiver, I was the black sheep because I was the one that didn't have multiple personality disorder. I wasn't paranoid schizophrenic. I wasn't drinking or doing drugs, and I was trying to live a normal, so-called normal life and a home and a house and have a car that was mine, and do things legally and right and good. And in a sense, kind of, righteous and growing with the blessings that I've had. But you can't change others by changing yourself. And it's so hard. It's kind of like drinking poison and hoping the other person dies,
That's
right?
right.
The higher your light shines, the further your light shines out from you, the more people get just kind of they get uncomfortable with you. They don't like being in your presence anymore. And I was the bad person. I was wrong. I was evil. I was a bad mother. And I'm thinking, I'm not selling drugs. I'm not selling my body.
That's right.
I'm not cheating
By
on
whose
my husband,
standards? By whose
right?
standards, right?
Exactly. I wasn't following the norm and I was doing better and I was doing successful. I was becoming promoted. I was going to college. I was getting my bachelor's degree, and it was never enough because I needed to get put down. So I
Yeah.
could never rise above the matriarch of the family. And, I was a bad seed. And unfortunately, the people that were supposed to support me through this, my family, my mother, my sister, pushed me down and kind of started to take that stress upon my daughter because she was there.
Right.
So, it was like a divorce or, a
Yeah.
failed marriage. They were coming, my family was coming into my life, and I didn't realize it at the time, because I wasn't trying to hold the pain on them. I was trying to find forgiveness and wanted so much for a family to be there and part of my life and cleaning it up and being the one in the generation that said, "Hey, I'm here on this earth to do good and to bring my family
To break the
together and
cycle,
find love."
right? To
Yeah.
really break the cycle.
Absolutely, to absolutely break that cycle. And the more that I did it, the more they resisted. And unfortunately, that stress came out on my daughter, and it was like she couldn't handle it. So now I was bad in her eyes. And, she's in high school and everything that goes into a public school system and all the stresses on a child. And I didn't realize how bad it was. I never really showed up to school. So I didn't care because I was young. I was on the street. I was a teenager. I was living my worst life ever, but I felt great about it. You don't know when you're young, right?
Yeah, no idea.
There's
No
so many,
idea.
yeah, I'll deal with it in my own way. I know better than anybody. I'm on my journey. Have a fun. It was always a party. So in come drug and alcohol and thinking that with my daughter, I'm away from that. And this is supposed to be good because, you watch Leave It to Beaver and you think, okay, if the family dynamic is here, we'll all love each other in the next
Yeah,
episode.
that's right.
But there was death. Now, my brother got sick. He passed away. My sister was sick. My mom was ill. She had health conditions. And then on and on and on. My plate's so full, I can't take any more on. And when I went to ask for help, it was like, hey, we can't give that to you. You don't deserve that.
Right.
Right. And so they would start to tear at me and take away. And I didn't realize it had the effect. So then my daughter started doing drugs and alcohol. That was what was available at school. And, she was successful and she was doing good. And hey, we had those conversations. It appeared to stop. But you go through that, you see the signs, it's happening. And how much of it is your kid experiencing and experimenting, and
Right.
how much is overdone? And
Right.
so playing with that dynamic, being a single parent, thinking that was the way to women's empowerment, and all the people that were supposed to be love me and support me didn't do that. So when I sought help for her and I asked for help and I said, hey, she needs to go. My daughter needs to go to rehab. She needs to get her life together. She's just, it's affecting her health. It's affecting her mental health. And all these jobs and opportunities that she had, whether it was modeling or dancing or doing hair and makeup, she lost because she was so high. She wouldn't show up. She couldn't get to the job. She couldn't get to the second interview. We would set stuff up. Friends had connections. We'd set moments up for her. And I watched, you watch these movies and you think, okay, at the end, everything's better. It's
Everything turns out
all gonna
okay.
be fine. It's all gonna be fine. I'm living my best life. I'm a single parent. I'm raising my kid. I've got the right job. I'm doing good in the community. Everybody will support me. No, nothing. It just like the monitor in the hospital room just went, went dead.
How did you navigate that process of reaching out for help when you had really not a lot of support?
It broke me down. It just broke me. It broke. My daughter was running away from rehab. She wasn't getting better. Her husband was drugging her on top of it. So if she got a job or she was getting better, she went to rehab, he'd start slipping pills in her drinks, buying her bottles of booze. So she would stay trapped in her own mind in the bed, not get out of the house. Anytime we reached out for help, she just couldn't even accept it. She didn't know where she was. She didn't know who she was. She didn't know what she was doing. She was rambling, watching her wither away and die and saying, hey, telling my ex, hey, of 15 years, we need to get her help. I need help. I can't do this anymore. I'm at a breaking point. And just literally telling people, I'm done. I cannot do this anymore. Shouldn't be alone in this. I need help. I need physical help. I need financial help because it's costly trying to get my daughter on even Medicaid. It's like, anything.
It's awful.
And then when you go to places, I don't know that, there's certain health care that people will accept. And you kind of know that, but you don't when you're in such the mess. And it's like calling people. Well, I found this great facility in California, but my daughter wasn't a resident of California. So we were trying to get people to say, hey, can we change her address and just use your address in the state so she can get the help she needs? And then it was, hey, if she gets over there, how is she getting over there? We're going to have to really just tie her down in the car somehow so she doesn't unlock the door and escape, because having her in another state running away, that was an issue. My mother was getting in her head and she'd take her and say, she was supposed to be taking her to the doctors. She wasn't taking her to her appointments. They would go out to lunch, go out shopping. My sister would call her and say, oh, you don't need to listen to your mother. I know how you need help. Well, if you're so much better, then why isn't she getting help? I'm really ready to relinquish that. Anybody that can get her to the hospital or the help she needs, go ahead. My sister would call her and tell her, no, you're fine. Go home to your husband. Her husband's drugging her. Why would she go home to her husband? She needs to get out of that
Out of
environment.
that environment.
It's
And
not healthy.
it's not healthy. It's not healthy. And that kind of brings me to the next point of, the enabling versus the support is a very fine line. What are we doing? Are we doing this to help? Or are we doing this to enable her to be more of an addict?
Well, yeah, truly enabling her. If that's her choice, her body, her choice. She could do whatever. She can't think for herself. And at one moment, my family's like, that's so wrong. If somebody needs help, we need to get them help and we need to take care of them. But all the preaching over the years was null and void. There was no moving forward because if, and I look at it now, seeing going through counseling and whatnot and groups, realizing that my mom had that issue and talking to her doctors that she had that, what, Munchausen by proxy
By proxy,
issue. Because if I was sick, if I was in the hospital, which I grew up in the hospital all the time, I had some random illness. I mean, truthfully, I did. But even getting, if I was healthy, if I had a bad toenail, I would end up in the hospital. because she was such the hypochondriac and she got the big pat on the back. Oh, you're such a good mother taking care of your kids. She did the same thing to my brother as he was
Wow.
older. She would not give him his medication because he was in a car accident, paraplegic, had some issues. He would not get his medication so she could take him back to the doctor.
Wow.
And then when the doctor would come and talk to me and say, "Hey, what your mother is doing is not okay. We're worried about her. Can you help us out? We can't keep him at this facility and rehab him because he's doing great. We can't rehab him if your mother keeps coming in."
Right.
So the next call I get after 2 or 3 days is he's no longer in the recovery home. My
Wow.
mother actually took him out of the recovery home. And that's just to say that this is the mentality that I'm dealing with. And, my sister, the same thing. She wanted the control. She knew better. And fine, then you put your money out, you get her to rehab, you drive her over there and get her to go in the hospital. Turns out she ran away from the same facility with my sister.
Yeah.
And
Same thing
it's,
happened.
yeah, and it's like, you're my sister. You're not my husband, my boyfriend. You're not the pastor. You're not the bishop. You're not somebody that's supposed to be doing this. You're my sister. We're supposed to be close. We're family. But because you want to prove me wrong, you're so there to prove me wrong and to keep me down that you're going to go out of your way to hurt my child.
Yeah, life was at stake.
Yeah. And I'm telling people, look, I can't live here. I need to come out of here. I mean, I broke up with my ex, 15-year relationship. My mother and my sister moved to another state. And it's like, I was taking care of my mother too. And I was telling people, look, I need to get to a place where it's a healthier place so I can bring my daughter without her husband to heal. And I just need to get some separation. And it's the desperation of nobody wants to help.
Right. Nobody wants to help. Since you did have such a hard time with that along the way, are there any specific resources or information that you can share that you found helpful or particularly valuable?
Well, really, it was talking to someone like yourself who's done this for so many years, and you're on the opposite end. You're not connected to me through family, but you're able to counsel or talk or just be a community resource for me and a good friend, and really say, hey, going to Al-Anon and some of the groups and being able to talk to people who have been there but don't want to stay in the pain. And that's
Absolutely right.
huge.
Huge.
That's so huge because there's so many groups out there in healers and meditation or even exercise where it's a kind of cult phenomenon that everybody wants to stay right here. You get to the healing part and you got to come back down again. And it's like, I'd like to take this experience and move forward and see how can I help other people in my community or on a global level to realize that, hey, there are resources out there that you can find and you can kind of dabble in a little bit safely and find that essence or that guidance from, hey, people here on earth in the human form and the God or what have you around you to say, yeah, we are here for a good purpose. There are good people here. And sometimes that's just on a Zoom call. Maybe that's a phone call, but on a global level, wherever you can find that help and those resources on people that'll say, "Hey, I'm going to meet you where you're at."
Yeah, absolutely.
If you're ready to step across those coals and find that success and get on the other side of that joy, then here, let's do this. But hey, don't stay in that negativity and don't let that bring you down, those partners in pain. Maybe step out of it for a little bit. And it was so important for me to come to somewhere that's my kind of, I always call it my writer's sabbatical, my kind of cabin in the northern states where it's calm and quiet and maybe a little town and get out of the hubbub of the city and the pain that people are in. Because when you focus on that,
Yeah.
that's always what you're going to
Everything, that's what you're going to
see,
see.
right?
That's what you're going to
Right?
see.
There's good people somewhere. And,
Absolutely.
where's that place and those resources and books? I mean, for me, it was really finding Al-Anon, finding support, finding people who have had that success and gone through that journey and aren't hyperbolical about it and theorizing how it should work, but know how it
No,
works, know
viscerally.
statistically,
They
right?
viscerally know, right? Yeah.
And
You
they're
didn't just
past it.
read it in a book. You know in your soul.
Yeah. And you're not sharing some great moment on Instagram. Oh, somebody wrote two sentences. And it's like, hey, I think that's all great. And there's positivity and how it can reduce, the stress and rehabilitate you. But really, talking to people that are really ready to have open, blunt conversations.
Yeah.
Not, oh, it's okay, honey. Not the patronizing, not the
Yeah.
matriarchal. I'm
Yeah.
going to save you. I don't want to be saved.
No, I want to rebuild.
Right? So, really
Show me how to
finding,
do that.
yeah, absolutely. Getting out there, starting to run, exercising, getting sunshine, taking an actual vacation, going for a hike, doing some.
Eating some really nutritious meals instead of a drive-through, right? Drive-through is okay sometimes, but not as a way of like how you're getting your caloric intake, you know?
Right. And, really changing my meals, adding water, what a big difference. A little water, a little lemon water, some essential oils. And I went through a real big healing journey in meditation, in self-growth, working on that shadow side of me, working on those deep, painful levels of what was where and where did that pain come from, and moving forward from it and finding out, hey, if I got a little pain in my knee, now that's little ache in my back, now that's from, hey, maybe I worked out just a little too much
Yeah.
or
Yeah.
started something a little bit differently than, hey, something's nagging at me. It's a pain that I'm feeling from the non-support of my family and so-called friends that are really terrorizing me instead of passionately reaching out and being there for me and helping me get to the next level.
Yeah, I
Right?
think that's a really important point to drive home is that not everybody has a built-in support system with their family, their friends, their loved ones, their acquaintances. A lot of people have nobody that they feel like they can absolutely talk to no one. That's a big reason why we started our company and why we continue to do 2 years later. Every month we do a Lodge family Zoom where it's the families that come on, not the individual that's in the recovery residence, but the families, because they need just as much help as the individual does.
Oh gosh, yeah. And that was so important to me when you reached out to me to say, hey, come in when you can. But it is really that family, that support, that familial support of, hey, we're the support system. And when the support system isn't working, when the support system doesn't show up, how can the person that needs to heal heal? Because they
Right.
go back into that environment. It's like back in the day
That's
when the
right.
judge was telling gang members, hey, you can't go back with your buddies. You can't go back with your homies because it's not a good thing because you're going to go back into drugs. You're going to go back into selling. You're going to go back into the violent life. So get yourself out of that. But hey, and some of them did and they were successful, but some of them didn't. And that's okay because that was their choice. But when you're looking at it on this level, on a mental health or an addict level, it's like, hey, how do I get out of this? And I was the healer. I was the caregiver. I was the one everybody picked up the phone to and ran to when they need the bandage changed, when they
Where do
needed
you
help.
go?
Yeah. Where do I go? But when I turned to my family, it was like, nope, pump the brakes, nothing, not a thing. It was crickets, but realizing that you can find that outside. But it's also the success for me has been really in, oddly enough, being in networking events where people said to me, who do you know, like, and trust? And I'm like, nobody. They're like, no, really. And
Same, yeah.
I said, I can't trust anybody around me. So now it's building relationships, building rapport, and realizing that people that are truly successful in their business have a set of social circle and support systems and healing,
Yeah.
right? They're the drivers, like Jocko or David Goggins or somebody always going, always staying hard, always moving forward, knowing what time it is and saying, hey, we're going to exercise a little bit more. Get up at 5:30, go to the gym, or stay up late at night, go to the gym, go take a sauna, and you work hard, play hard, and there's balance as much
There's
as
a
you can.
balance. Yeah, absolutely.
But watching the drive and watching people who are successful and saying, hey, take time for you, be successful, be healthy, so you can see those people. And now you are in a di now I know I'm personally in a different circle of people.
Yeah,
I can look
absolutely.
at you and say, hey, you're healthy, you're really about your business, and you really want to support, and here's what we offer. And how do we have that connection? And how can we affiliate and now joint partner? But joint partner means we're in a community, established community and connectedness together, and starting to realize that, wow, what a pivot. Business models, strategies work. And it's like, oh, now I can be awake. Now I can heal and be part of that wokeness and that meditation. But now I don't have to be broke inside or outside.
Right.
And it's
And
no longer a theory.
we use a model. It's kind of like, we wanted to raise the bar on recovery residences and sober programs in general, virtual, in-person, one-year programs, because there is so much misunderstanding about it. There is so much stigma surrounding it that people are not talking about it. And it's no surprise that you're not alone. A lot of people can't go back to their families, And so let me ask you, if I always ask this question, but I'm going to ask it with a twist. This is always the last question. If you could go back to that you before all of this started, right? Before you joined the police academy, you're living on the streets. What would you say to you about what was going to happen in your life? What advice could you give? So pretend like you are talking to parents whose loved one is addicted.
Oh man.
And if you could go back, all of those lessons you learned, how are they applicable now?
Well, it's different from telling that little girl who believed in people, hey, your life's gonna suck, right? And getting past that point to say that there is support outside, that you're
Yeah.
gonna come back to this point where you can serve people on a different level. And it's funny because it comes full circle. And I can't just say one thing. Coming from Silicon Valley, growing up in Silicon Valley, and now working with tech, to say there's a relief in a way. And that little girl loved to fantasize, she loved to visualize. And on the virtual reality platform, we can fantasize and bring that visualization to life. To focus in those stress relieving points to deal with day-to-day life, right? Because I had to put a hard shell on because my passion or my heart was so big. And that's why we kind of put that armor on, right? But it's really taking the binoculars and not to look here, look outside. Look outside your 3 feet of space. Look outside your home.
There's a whole
Look
world waiting.
outside. Yeah. There's a whole world waiting, and it's not here in the 3 feet space in front of
That's
you,
right.
right? And how can you reach out to that? Because we were taught there's a war on drugs, there's stranger danger, there's don't trust anybody, blah, 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 blah. It's all the boogeyman is bad.
That, oh, we grew up
Don't
in
look
that,
under the
didn't we?
bed, right?
No.
Don't look under the bed. But then you look at what is it, Monsters, Inc., when they're that spookiness. And the screaming of the child, now there's the laughter.
Yeah.
And all those fun things that you'd enjoyed as a small child can always be there on an adult level. And now that I'm adulting, I'm on the other side of it and saying, okay, it's okay to trip up a little bit, but it doesn't have to be painful all the time.
No, it doesn't.
Experience it. Yeah,
Yeah.
experience
Go
the
through it
experience.
and you'll get through to the other side.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Because there's an end game,
Yeah, for all of
right?
us.
For all of us. But it's really defining that what's that end game? What's really the visualization that you're feeling, the journey on the fun ride? What's at the end? What do you get?
And knowing that you don't have to go back to a 9 to 5, there's all kinds of ways to make a living now. So for us
Yes.
that are creatives, you don't feel like you have to be put in a box in the rat race, which is what nobody wants to do, pretty much.
No, and the fun is that I can be creative online. I can
Yeah.
be creative with graphics. I can be relieve stress through meditations that are
Yep.
online.
Music.
Music, there's positive psychology. I mean, I put shorts out all the time on my YouTube channel about, hey, pain management. There's a distraction th therapy, or there's rehabilitation. You can have movement, you can engage. It's just enough to separate where it's not taking over, the robots aren't taking
Right.
over, but
Right.
it's just enough to have that separation of self and a detachment where I can look in from the outside
Yeah.
and be able to take all my visualization and put it out there. And this way I can do it not with a hot glue gun. I'm not quilting. I love hot glue guns, but I'm not
Sorry.
quilting, right? You're fine. But it's really, I can do this on my laptop. I can create anywhere. So any of my visualizations, the tech now has come so far that I can use it for good and to talk to people on a global scale. And that's, we're in different parts of the world. We're in different parts of the country. We're
That's
in different
right.
time zones, but this is helping us connect, collaborate, trust, like, and find a different way to live our lives, to live our dream, and to show our passion with purpose.
Yeah.
And that comes back to the soul aligned. And it's like, if we take this over for good, then it's not going to be evil. And
That's right.
it's my passion. That's my purpose now. And to share the healing, because it can be very healing for me to say, hey, I can see this in front of me, and I can see my passion, my creativity in front of me, and I can share it with people. I can have boundaries. Which is big
Right.
too. Having boundaries where I don't physically have to kick you out because I don't let it get so bad.
That's
And
right.
now it's like, hey, I can have good boundaries and I can know when to say no and when to say yes and trust myself. And that's huge. And this gives us this change in life. It's so great right now because there's so much happening.
Yeah.
It's happening quick, but we get to choose, we get to pick, and it's beautiful. It's
Yeah,
very
it
healing.
is. It is healing. Beautifully said, Nicole. So we're just about out of time. So I want to thank everyone for joining us on another episode of Recovery Comes Home Radio. We hope that the stories and the insights shared today will be a beacon of hope, providing comfort and a sense of community. As we wrap up, remember that recovery is a continuous journey, and it is filled with both challenges and triumphs. You are not alone. And there is a strength in every step forward. Before we part, a heartfelt thank you to our guest today, Nicole, and this incredible audience for being part of the Recovery Comes Home family. If you or a loved one are in trouble, visit recoverycomeshome.com or call 561-945-7560. Until next time, stay strong, stay connected, and keep the flame of hope alive. This is Adrienne Tickey signing off. Thank you for tuning in to Recovery Comes Home Radio. We hope that today's episode has provided you with valuable information and insights on the recovery process. Remember, you are not alone on this journey. Keep seeking support, practicing self-care, and moving forward one step at a time. Until next time, stay strong, stay resilient, and stay humble. Hope lives here.